There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Friday, and it is day 123 of special session in Montgomery, dealing with infrastructure and all things infrastructure. And it is busy right now. They are in the chamber in the House of Representatives right now. The latest word I have is it could be a long time.
It sure could be.
And I'm talking to State Senator Chris Elliott because, y'all, it's going to be a long time once y'all get your bite at this apple coming up. And what do you think? If tomorrow, Monday, Tuesday.
I was really hoping that we would see it this afternoon.
Right.
It looks like that might be late this evening. It would be better to do that.
I'm getting texts from people inside the house. It could be a long, long afternoon.
I sat up there for and went down to the floor just to kind of check on my members and see, and it does look like they're going to be in there for a long time.
Okay, are they in there for a long time because there's now something has changed since yesterday and there's some pushback, or is it amendments, or what? Give me some like under the hood stuff here.
Sure, so there are a few amendments that are being offered. I think that it's fair to say that the sponsor, Representative Poole, is going to be pretty judicious with what friendly amendments he accepts. We'll have to see how that process plays out, but I don't think that's what's really taking up the time. I think what's taking up the time is a lot of pontificating on the nature of the bill. Mm-hmm. and really some detractors from, from what I heard, a lot of some of the Democrats that are, you know, talking about it being a regressive tax instead of how I look at it as a user fee.
Right, right.
And things of that nature. So I think there's going to be a lot of pontification, but at the end of the day, I think it'll come to roost, if you will, and I think the bill will pass out of the House.
I will say, as things that will be discussed right across the street from us, this one probably is most applicable to most Alabamians. I know there's probably something I'm missing and some other things, but other than children under 16 or whatever, putting gasoline in a vehicle, putting diesel in a truck, these are something that affects bipartisan. From North Alabama, South Alabama, East, West, Central, it's all of us.
It is, and it's something we all do, is drive on the roads.
Right, so right? It touches the most, I'm saying, out of the things that y'all work on, even if you get into, you get into the lottery, I don't care about the lottery, Medicaid expansion, that doesn't affect me on this side, may affect me on another side. Y'all start working on whatever bills or things that affects a lot of Alabamians, but not all of us, like this does.
This does, and this deserves everybody's attention, and it deserves everybody's careful consideration from a legislative standpoint, and certainly the public's attention as well. And you and I were talking about this earlier, but it's worth getting the facts straight and talking about the facts of where we are, where we're going, and why.
Okay, so let's do that. We've did it before and got some texts about that. People appreciate it. What we're trying to do here, y'all, is just let you know, first of all, the why portion. Why is it? Where do we stand? Why do we, beyond the anecdotal, don't let me just sit here and tell you what roads that I see that are busy or bumpy, and you tell me the ones in Baldwin County that are busy. But let's talk about why the state needs this.
Well, overall, fuel tax revenues in the state are decreasing every single year. We drive more fuel-efficient vehicles, and the revenue associated with that is going down every year. Conversely, the cost of making repairs to these roads and, heaven forbid, actually expanding capacity,
right,
is going up.
Yeah, so, you got two things here. When people think infrastructure, we've got the maintaining and keeping the things we have, but with all those additional vehicles, You have to have additional roadways. And I want to go back because so many people have texted and said, well, listen, you have more vehicles, you burn more gas, you get more fuel tax. But two things. I mean, number one, the efficiency you just described. Number two, if you have those more vehicles to get the more gas revenue from tanks burned or gallons burned, you have more people on the roadways that need more road to drive on. I mean, it's
exactly. And if you look at the facts and the numbers, even with the more vehicles, the mileage, the miles per gallon, the efficiency has gone up so much that the result is decreasing revenue in the face of increasing costs of maintaining.
How much have those costs gone up? Like we look from like 1992, the last time there was a rise in the gas tax, to now. I mean, I've had people send me some information here, like, ask, we're not talking about running, administrating, all that kind of stuff, because this is really kind of a raw material discussion. Asphalt, concrete, those kind of things. I mean, people are at least telling me that there's been a doubling of costs, if not a tripling or more, in other sectors. Like concrete, I think, tripled and asphalt doubled or something.
Well, if you think about that, over 26 years, what's the value of a dollar?
Right.
All of those costs that you just mentioned, from raw materials to labor, heck, to the fuel that it costs to drive the equipment that's doing the work.
Right.
You know, it continues to go up. And that's, we just have less buying power with the gas tax revenue that we have.
And remind folks of that, too, that we're getting that it's an actual cent amount per gallon, not a percentage.
That is correct. We are talking about pennies on the dollar. We're not talking about percentage of dollar.
Right.
And a lot of people say, well, that was the problem 26 years ago. You should have put a percent on it. The problem with that is it fluctuates dramatically with the volatility of the oil market.
Right.
And
oh, I'd rather have it like this than... Because can you imagine when we had gas up at $4 and $5 a gallon, what we'd have been paying? No, thank you.
Yeah,
no, thank you.
This is a preferable solution to that, but it is still going to be something that folks are going to feel, and that's why I'm committed to. And I mentioned this yesterday with you, and I'll say it again today. I'm a low tax guy. I'm looking for ways to offset this increase. This is the way to move money around in state government, to un-earmark money, is to, you raise this tax over here, but you darn well better be looking for places to lower it in other places, whether that's reduction in sales tax, reduction in sales tax on grocery, whether that's a lottery to offset, whether that's a police jurisdiction offset where you're not collecting those sales taxes.
We'll get to that, Bill.
Yeah, that's a fun one.
Okay, but and let's go back to kind of the basic on this, because in an earmarked budget, you have and you have, here comes a revenue stream from whatever this thing is, and it is, when we say earmarked, it is going to fund this other department.
Correct.
This revenue stream goes directly to these things.
Correct.
Doesn't matter if these things don't need it as much or need, but this is how they get their money. All right. In the case that we're talking about here, if you can't undo that 93% earmarked, what you're saying is, here's how, in cutting taxes elsewhere, you're trying to achieve the same thing without undoing the earmarking, because it seems like there's not political will to undo this.
There's not the political will to undo the earmark. What there may be the political will to do is lower the tax, especially after we raise a tax.
Right.
That's when we're going to be able to start getting people's attention and say, okay, guys, you just voted for a tax increase over here. Now, the best thing to do is vote for a decrease over here and offset it. That's what the Republican Party's talked about. That's what the Alabama Policy Institute has offered. And that's what I think is probably a very good idea to do. But that's when we start setting priorities. This is how you prioritize an earmarked budget.
Mm-hmm.
Is you decrease over here and you increase over here. You keep the revenue neutral across the board. But that's how you move money around in an earmarked budget.
It is so frustrating because, I mean, the perfect way to do it, the right way to do it, it would be an earmarked budget where you would allocate funds to, you know, what needs more funds this year, less funds next. But, I mean, I realize we're not getting there anytime soon. So the idea here is raise gas tax, get that money coming in there for roads, but then you... What do you think? I mean, which one do you like? The drop in the sales tax, the grocery sales tax? Which one?
Well, I think so. I think the problem with the grocery sales tax is it doesn't generate enough money to completely offset this. So you can find, I don't know, $160 million or something like that. You get halfway there.
Okay.
You rob.
But it still helps when I figure, if people talk about regressive taxes, to me, full freight sales tax on groceries is regressive, hurts poor people the most.
Agree. And to a lot of the points being made by my Democratic colleagues, that's where I think we pick up some of their supporters. We say, okay, the gas tax is going to hit folks, mm-hmm. you know, lower to middle income folks disproportionately, if sure. you want to say that. And it's a user fee. And user fees always hit that segment of the population. But that means that we need to be looking for offsets that are similar in category there. Groceries,
yeah.
sales tax. I mean, that's where it hits them as well. So, but I'm open to any and all offsets. But I will do that not this year, but the year after, and the year after, and the year after. I'm going to be looking for those ways to offset this increase.
All right, we're coming back right back. State Senator Chris Elliott. We're talking about what's going on right across the street from us. We are live in Secretary of State John Merrill's office, watching what's happening in the legislature as special session has been called all about infrastructure. And we'll be right back.
Gas tax.
If it had a problem at 5 cents, it certainly should have a double problem or more at 12 or 15%.
Sean Sullivan is in Montgomery on FM Talk 106.5.
And we continue our broadcast covering special session in Montgomery with Midday Mobile. Remember, too, that we will have podcasts of these shows, just like our other some odd 40 hours a week of live local programming, up on our podcast page at fmtalk1065.com. Continuing our conversation with Senate District 32 Representative Chris Elliott, we're talking about y'all day. Well, it's for both the House and Senate, it's day three. It's day three, but the House has been. Y'all have had amendments go back over to the House, but it's really been in the ball's been in the House's hands now the whole time.
That's correct. It's a revenue bill. It's starting in the House. Now there may be some friendly amendments that may have originated in the through senators, but through their House members.
I'm thinking about the oversight stuff because of this part because and people are getting in the habit of just saying, well, it's the gas tax bill. It's three bills.
It is, and the important two are the revenue bill and then the accountability bill. And that is Senator Chambliss's bill that really beefs up the Joint Transportation Committee that will assist and advise ALDOT in setting priorities. It provides a tremendous amount of oversight on exactly how ALDOT's spending that money and how that is how that's being divvied up. And
that actually can pass without the other two passing.
It will pass. It's in the House right now.
Passes first, right?
It will pass first. It will have to pass first. Representative Poole said this morning, this is the revenue bill sponsor, but he's also the sponsor in the House of this accountability bill. And he said, if we do not pass the accountability bill, we should not pass his revenue bill. I mean, we're deadly serious about not passing any revenue before there is increased accountability. I mean, we're hearing what the public is saying. We want accountability. We want to make sure this is being spent the right way. And that is exactly what we're doing here.
All right. This text coming in from Rita in Baldwin County says, hey, forgive me if this has already been asked, but 18-wheelers are heavier and have more wheels on the road. More fuel used, more fuel tax paid, probably cost passed on to the end consumer. Don't the operators claim the fuel as a business expense? Also, they don't feel their heavy vehicles cause wear and tear, as a question. That's from
sure. So, the trucking industry, the forestry industry are all paying this tax along as well as additional taxes that they pay for their heavier trucks when they're licensed and registered and things like that. But I'll tell you, this ought to tell you something, that the trucking industry is one of the biggest supporters of this. Now, think about that for a second. These people burn more fuel than anyone else in the state, and they are leading the charge on this. Why? Because it costs them money for their trucks to sit in traffic in congested areas, because it costs them money when their trucks have maintenance problems, because they hit a pothole, they blow a tire, they whatever. Mm-hmm. That all costs that industry money, and they look at this as an investment for which they're going to want to return, and that's asphalt, that's roads, that's additional capacity.
All right, this one says, this texter, unnamed texter, doesn't believe a word we're saying. There are more SUVs and pickups on the road now than in 1992. Well, I'll take a bite of the apple, and I want to point out that, yes, there are. Therefore, there's more traffic and more issues for getting vehicles to where they're going. But also, as a guy that has driven a pickup truck, or I had one, Broncos, they wouldn't be SUVs, but pickups are my whole life. The gas mileage I'm getting right now in the truck that's sitting right outside here at the Capitol, I'm about to get in and drive back to Mobile, is incredibly better than the vehicles I drove in 92.
And it's better than my grandmother's Buick was in 92 right. as well. So, yes, there are more.
So it's not even the same. Like, I'm getting – it's not – it's like I'm getting twice what I was getting in 92 on gas mileage. So, yeah, there could be – there's definitely more of these vehicles, but they're not – they're getting twice as good a gas mileage. So, I mean, I'm not trying to defend this one way or the other. I'm just trying to keep it factual.
Well, and that's and that's it. And if you just look at the numbers, I mean, 2015 total gas tax revenue, $637 million, $607 million in 16, $588 million in 17. I mean, I'm not trying to be argumentative with this nice lady, but at this the numbers don't lie.
Right.
They're just it's going down.
Okay, and this this is good. Obviously, now we're starting to see launch techs come in asking what I'm interested in is the gray and the nuanced questions, and where we can all learn something. I'm learning with y'all. So Chris says, if they are willing to offset taxes of various sources, why don't they just leave it the same and take the amount they are considering to offset and apply it to infrastructure needs? And this goes back to earmarking.
Okay, that exactly does. It goes back to earmarking because short answer is because those taxes that we would otherwise want to move around are dedicated for and for whatever it's worth, the same way this gas tax will be. But they are dedicated to a specific purpose. In my mind, government is about prioritizing, deciding what is important and what's not. It's not, it should not be just more. And, right. and I have
this
the same.
This is a great question. It's just you're explaining, I think, to Monty here, explaining, you know, why you can't, that's why this has to be done, because you can't just take the money and move it.
So, real quick, we'll run through it. Sales tax, pretty much, is dedicated to the Education Trust Fund. Must be spent on Education Trust Fund. Can't spend it on roads.
Right.
It's you cannot do it.
That's we've been talking about the wall between the general fund and the ETF.
Exactly.
That's that wall.
But we can reduce sales tax. And that's
while you can't take the money that was going to ETF and use it on roads, you sure can bring up what it cost. You can bring the revenue up somewhere else, but drop it
exactly
on the other side of the wall.
Or my bill that I've proposed, Senate Bill 23, reduces police jurisdictions back to municipal limits. You've got police jurisdictions that are charging sales tax, business license fees outside of those police jurisdictions now, times 400 and some odd
right.
municipalities around the state. Now we're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars in sales tax that are no longer being collected.
Yep.
And those are innovative ways to say, yes, we're raising it here, but we need to lower it here. And that's the way to do it.
So, once again, this is why this is great that you'll come on and we have everybody coming on to explain it, because there's no way in a short 2-minute clip to understand. Y'all are doing a workaround, for lack of a better word, right?
We are, and that's
kind
of
nice to be able to shift money and say, well, we need it for roads, we'll move it, but you can't do that in the earmarked budget.
Well, exactly, and there are two ways to do it, and I think this is one thing that the Republicans deserve credit for. Is one way is just raise taxes and say, hey, we just need more because this is down. The good conservative approach is to say, okay, everybody believes that we need to invest more in our infrastructure. Now, maybe not everybody, but the vast majority of people say,
even if they don't like that, you're right. Even people who don't want to pay they're against this tax, agree that work needs to be done on the roadways.
Right.
Okay.
So
that's fair enough. I think
that's what we're trying to do with this bill. Now, what I would like to do is make sure that we spend the rest of this session and the session after that and the session after that trying to make sure that we offset it. And that's what I'm dedicated to doing, is making sure that I find $10 million here, $20 million here, $100 million here to try to offset it for the people of the state.
Because he can't take it from, you know, you can't take it from where it's sitting and put it where you want to. So you got to find a way to bring money up to pay for it at the same time, drop the cost. All right. Quickly, when you get through special session, whatever happens here in the next however many days, I guess it's over, it's March 19th.
Correct.
Okay. Get back to regular session that next Tuesday or whatever you're in. I think that is Tuesday. You get back in. What's going to be top of the stack? What's your feelings?
Man,
you're hearing from, you know.
Yeah, there are pre-filed bills all over the place. I mean, dealing from the rattlesnake rodeo and op and whether or not you can kill the rattlesnakes afterwards and eat them. I'm not kidding.
No, to
the police jurisdiction bill that I mentioned, to start talking about some offsets seriously. You know, I've got a bill that makes it a hate crime to target a law enforcement officer. You know, and there are bills like that.
This jurisdiction bill is interesting. We'll have more time. We'll talk about it. You know, and we can get you back. We've had you on the show before. Mm-hmm. This jurisdiction bill is going to be probably have some pushback from some, sounds like municipalities we've talked about have been for it. Mm-hmm. They don't want to continue the fire and police protection outside
right.
the city limits. But there are a few other municipalities that are saying, no, this would be a bad thing.
There are. And I think that if we do just what we're doing right now and continue to talk through the issue a little bit, some of those municipalities will understand that what they're doing now is a disincentive to growing their cities, a disincentive to those people paying for the services they're getting right now, and that if they simply draw a hard line of either you're in the city and you receive those services or you don't, then they'll actually see their cities grow and they'll have something to offer those folks as opposed to just giving it away for next to free.
All right. We'll talk about this more coming in the future. Appreciate your time. Thanks for being on with us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
All right. We can continue our coverage of special session live from Montgomery right here on Midday Mobile. Heads up, Cottage Hill package. If you're getting ready for the weekend, I want you to stop by and check something out. Now, there are two areas that you need a tour guide with at Cottage Hill Package. Number one is the beer cave for the craft beer. But up front, now I'm not a cigar guy, not a smoker, but I have three people on my pretty regular birthday and holiday shopping list that are. And Billy, that's the tobacconist at Cottage Hill Package, leads me through the humidor. Like I said, it's big enough it needs its own park ranger. And you show up, Billy will walk you through. And I know just enough of the cigars I've purchased in the past or what I've seen. One of them is my dad, what he smoked. And Billy say, okay, well, he likes this cigar. Then why don't you buy one of these and one of these and one of these? And then I bring them to dad, and they are big, big hits. So if you're a tobacco, if you're an aficionado of cigars, then go. Y'all can talk shop. If you're a doofus like me on this stuff, you even need him more because Billy will point you in the right direction. And while you're there, check out the craft beers, wines, fine liquors, all at Cottage Hill Package, corner of Cottage Hill and Hillcrest, online at cottagehillpackage.com, and make sure to like them on Facebook. All right, we're coming right back. Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, he joins us next.
I am willing to call you, the members of the Alabama Legislature, into a special session if necessary.
Governor Ivey calls a joint session to pass a gas tax increase.
We need to rebuild Alabama's infrastructure.
Sean Sullivan is live in Montgomery on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back, FM Talk 106.5, and it is Midday Mobile live from Montgomery. Special session going on right now, and in the House, the latest text I've had is that they're going to be there a while, almost like one of those Snickers commercials or something like that, but we'll find out kind of what the counts look like, because we're lucky enough, instead of just on the phone, in person. At least I'm in his town, and it's good to have Todd Stacey from the Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com, on with us. Hey, man.
Hey, man. Great to have you in Montgomery.
Yeah, I told you I'd get it up here.
That's right.
I've been trying to get you to Mobile come by the station, so I had to come up here to see you.
Well, I like it this way. You know, you're here. You're involved in the special session. You can see all what's going on and report back to folks in Mobile.
So. I've really had a... It's been very, I say, a good time, because that's true. I've gone and seen, like, archives and mm-hmm. different stuff up here I hadn't seen before, but... really interesting what's going on.
Yeah, absolutely. They're right now over there arguing and debating the bill, going through the ins and outs of it. They finally got to the gas tax. You know,
should we say the bills? I keep reiterating this so everybody at home understands this. This is a suite of bills. It's at least three bills, right? You have the oversight, you have the actual revenue, and then you have the port.
That's right. That's right. And then don't forget the oversight bill, that they're carrying that in the Senate.
Will that start in the Senate, go back to the House, or does it?
It will. They'll pass okay. it. It's not controversial. Essentially.
Right. Yeah, that's one everybody wants to get behind.
Well, yeah, I think it'll probably be unanimous because for years people have not really felt like the Department of Transportation had proper oversight. The money that comes in, the money that goes out, which is a big, you know, bugaboo when it comes to increasing the gas tax. People are saying, hey, we don't even know where the money's going now.
Right. So there's a fix here for this. I mean, now, if I wanted to be truly cynical, I would have said, well, they should have done this even before we're pushing for additional revenue. But
I agree.
But maybe that's what it takes to get something done. So that part is...
And I think from what I gathered from talking to lawmakers, it was, look, this has to happen. If we don't do this, then it's a non-starter, which it was probably wise. But, yeah, so they're over there debating right now. I'm hearing that they probably have enough votes to pass it, but they're, you know, a lot
probably,
could happen.
Because there were a bunch of people yesterday talking to me and seeming like, oh, yeah, they got the votes. Well, did anything change that, you know,
things can change on the floor. If some amendment gets adopted, something like, you know, something, feelings get hurt, something happens,
it is
those
not,
could fall
it's
off.
Not that petty, is it?
I do think at the end of the day, I do believe they'll have the votes. And here's a couple of reasons why. Number one, you went from 50 to about 60, maybe even 65 votes just yesterday. People clicking in saying, okay, you know, Mr. Speaker, Mr. Leader, Mr. Poole, I'm with you. You know, half the lobbying community is lobbying this bill.
Are they just they're counting votes every second over there, aren't they?
They are. And you remember, you got different organizations. You got the League of Municipalities. That's the cities, and you got the county commissions. That's a very powerful lobby.
Right.
BCA, you know, traditionally very powerful. They've actually got some new lobbyists that are working this bill. But
Who else might be interested? Like, you just named some that I know they've been very public. I've had the county commission people on with me, you know, talking about this in the open, and you know, BCA's about this and business communities. But who else? Yeah. Who else? Like, I might not have.
Well, BCA is one. That's the state's largest business association. So, you know, they want this because for commerce, they want
better roads, get people to go to work and buy things, and
economic development. Alpha is really in favor of this. They spoke out.
Okay, why would
they? Remember, Alpha is the Alabama Farmers Federation.
But
so,
the insurance and
I don't think insurance has anything to do with it. They are, you know, they are the state's advocate for farmers.
Okay,
and so they are, you know, they use the roads too, and that's a component of it. But they're really for this port stuff.
Okay,
timber, agricultural products. It's a big deal at the Port of Mobile, and so when they saw that port money, I'm sure they were part of trying to get it in there.
Right.
They're really excited about the port. It's really
a good insight there into the Alpha portion. Yeah, that it is through and that's one of these three bills.
Correct. The port and the money went up for the port when it was refiled yesterday. It went from, I think, 10.1 million to, I think, 11.7. So that was a big win. I talked to Representative Chris Pringle about that and how they worked it to get more money into the port. I think that was needed to get more people on board.
It seems that, although talking yesterday about this, I was told that it's capped so we're looking to raise, you know, and I had Jimmy Lyons on with me yesterday from the port and talked about that, okay, here's this matching money. The money that would come from the feds through Senator Shelby, they were going to have to match a portion. That portion was up to $150 million. Has that total run that would be?
Well, they would use this money to float a bond
to repay the bond.
Yeah, so that's they so need an annual
annual
appropriation to pay off the bond faster.
Oh, that's
So I mean, the good news for the port is, and if you'd asked me 2 years ago or even a year ago this is going to happen, I wouldn't have believed you. But if this bill passes, which it looks like it's going to, we're getting the money from Shelby. It looks like the Port of Mobile is going to get a big, you know, big win here.
And I mean, and to sit with the discussion you just had and the state, because
Port
of Mobile is. I mean, you're not going to get any kind of.
I do. I think that Jimmy Lyons and those that were advocating. I think Jimmy Lyons and those advocating for the port have done an excellent job of communicating to members, lawmakers from around the state, just why the port matters to the entire state. I had folks up in Florence and Decatur telling me, man, we really need this port stuff. Because they understand that it's the products that are coming from their communities that get shipped out to the port, or you know, so just how important trade is. So I think they've done a terrific job of communicating that. You hear a little bit of griping about, hey, Mobile's getting a nice chunk of change, but I think most of that at this point has been tamped down because they did a good job of explaining why it matters to everybody.
Well, it is. I mean, the money, you know, and that's one thing I want to get to. Obviously, I'm coming from a homeowner's perspective, but at least I'll defend it. People say all that money's going to the Port of Mobile. That money isn't going to do things that aren't as accessible to anybody in Alabama as they are to the people in Mobile and Baldwin counties. Yeah.
We can't help that the port is located in Mobile.
It has to be there by, like, where the Gulf of Mexico is.
Yeah, and it's an incredible opportunity. I think people, a lot of people understand that. Look, if we were at, if we were Georgia and they had Atlanta, Atlanta's airport, of course you would want to make sure that they're taken care of as far as, because that's their major hub of, of commerce and transportation. That's what the port is, and that's what the port can be. And so I think the concerns people had initially, I think they've been allayed, and I don't think the port's really an issue anymore. It's more indexing, things like that.
Okay, and something we're hearing, this is information coming out of the House right now. It looks like the accountability House bill, that what we were just talking about, the accountability port, has passed unanimously. You called that a second ago.
I don't know anybody who would be against it.
Who'd be on the record? I don't want to have our government agency and Aldott accountable. But it so that was the easiest beachhead to reach.
I agree, and here's what that does. That makes it, because it is passed, and you can just pretty much take it to the bank that it's going to be law. That helps them argue. That helps proponents of the bill argue. You know, hey, look. You can't talk, you know, don't come at me with transparency and accountability. We already fixed that.
Right.
That's already, you know, on its way. So it just takes away an argument from the opponents.
And the opposition, you know, I was just talking about one in the first half hour with Chris Elliott, with Senator Chris Elliott, about Democrats saying the regressive nature of the gas tax. It's true. I mean, anything a tax could be regressive. Same thing I've argued about full freight sales tax on groceries for a long time. But he is also making the argument that's why there needs to be offsets.
That's, you know, and you're going to hear a lot of those arguments, not just today on the floor, but in the Senate. You know, I agree, but that's the gas tax is how we pay for roads and bridges. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe we need to figure something out.
Because we're all earmarked up.
Sure, and maybe we need to figure something out better in the future. Maybe this can last for another 20, 25 years, and we got to figure something out. But that's how we pay for roads and bridges. And so I understand arguments against it saying, well, the system doesn't work, it's regressive. It's like, well, then we got to figure out another way to pay for roads and bridges.
And, right. And then people, nobody raises their hand with a good idea.
There aren't really many, very many alternatives. I don't want to pay a higher gas tax. Goodness gracious. And the tax has gone up lately. But I do understand the need. And I do think that the bill sponsor, Bill Poole, and Governor Ivey, for that matter, have done a good job in crafting something that isn't crazy. I mean, I wrote a story that about some of the research in Tuscaloosa that called for 19 to 23 cents of a gas tax increase.
That's the first number you and I were talking about on the show. Yeah,
because that's what they said it would take to really meet the state's needs. So they're doing half of that, which I don't think is extreme, and, you know, gradually. So I got to give them credit at least for not going all the way to what the researchers said that we needed. At the same time, it looks, I mean, if it does pass, I think people will appreciate the fact that, you know, county roads and bridges are starting to get repaired, and maybe we don't have as much congestion 5 years from now.
Right, and that's a two-part. Why I keep repeating this part is I think it is lost somewhat. Because you think about infrastructure, like, well, okay, you got to fix the potholes, you got to fix this bridge. It's fixing those, and it's also dealing with the current traffic issues we have in our state, which are affecting, you know, obviously for us in Southwest Alabama, we got our own batch. But I know people in Birmingham, obviously in Huntsville, they got their issues. Montgomery right here has got its issues.
Yeah, and the congestion issue is a real problem. It costs money. It costs people time. The researchers said that the average Alabamian spends an average of, I think, 36 hours a year in traffic, something like that. And that's a work day, or that's a work week.
Yeah.
You know, that's a lot of time.
Ask people in Mobile and Baldwin counties what their number is. It's going to be
higher. It could be higher than that. Well, yeah, y'all got that tunnel down there. Yeah. Those tunnels that are kind of a nightmare.
Hey, can you hang on a second?
Sure.
All right, we're coming right back. More of Midday Mobile. We are live in Montgomery. Special session going on right now. Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, our guest. ALDailyNews.com, the website. And we will return. Y'all stay close.
Once again, live from Montgomery, here's Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back to continuing coverage of special session here in Montgomery. This is Midday Mobile. You can also text in, call in 343-0106. I do want to check with my buddy Angelo at Mobile Bay Coins and see what's happening on a Friday back home. Hey, man.
Hey, how's it going today, Sean?
It's going good. So they're working on gas taxes up here and accountability. You're working on precious metal prices and jewelry back home. Walk us through it.
Yeah, it's been really interesting because the more our government does that makes us a little crazy, the more people like to come in and they start picking up some precious metals because, you know, it's a tangible asset. It's something you can hold, you can own, and you have control and possession over it. And if the government does something really crazy, then you've got something you can fall back on, and you know it's going to always have some value.
You know, I like is for it's been years and years and years, nothing new between you and I, but the talk of silver, because every, you know, all the TV commercials or a lot of radio commercials will talk about gold, and that's fine. But you, way back when, you said, man, you need to look at silver. Why'd you tell me that?
Well, you just got to do the math on it. It's real simple. I know you don't like doing the math. That's what we're here for. We'll do that for you. You go back, you know, during the last election cycle, and silver had gotten fairly cheap, you know, in the $13, $14 range, got up to almost $50 an ounce. If you would have bought and sold right, you would have easily tripled your money, maybe a little better than that. If you would have bought and sold gold at the same time, you would have made about 1.5 times your money. So it's real simple. Triple your money with the silver. And the coolest part is, for most of us, trying to spend $1,200, $1,300 on an ounce of gold is a real bite out of the pocketbook. You can come in today, and for less than $20, you can walk away with some silver in your pocket. That's pretty affordable.
That's why I've been following his advice, y'all, for all this time. All right, Angelo, tell them how to come see you.
Yeah, we're in Midtown, 2204 Government Street. You can always go onto Facebook and like and follow us there, or check out the new Mobile Bay Coins website, mobilebaycoins.com.
Good deal, Angelo. Have a great weekend.
Enjoy your weekend up there, Sean.
I will do. Angelo checking in from Mobile Bay Coins. We continue our conversation with Todd Stacey of Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. And like right now, even here in Montgomery on my phone, I opened up my phone this morning, my email. There's my email from Todd. How do people get this on their phones or laptops or some big old desktop computer? Whatever they got, how do they get it?
It's easy enough. It's just aldailynews.com. That's the homepage. And right there on the site, up at the top, you can see a button saying subscribe. Just click it, enter your email, enter your name, and it's free. There's no cost at all to sign up, and you're on the list, and you'll get an email from me every morning going through the day's news. Now that the legislature's in town, there's a lot of interesting news out of Montgomery. But we also cover a lot of news out of D.C., especially as it concerns the congressional delegation and all the things you need to know to start your day.
All right, so make sure to get that email in the inbox, y'all. You're going to love it. All right, let's get one of those stories that you have up today in the email that bridges both worlds. It's an Alabama story, it's a federal story, and it's the story of the census and what that means for the state of Alabama, and op-ed here from our Attorney General.
That's right. Attorney General Steve Marshall has an op-ed in USA Today, which is, you know, pretty big deal.
Does he have his own pie chart graph and any graphs, any kind of color? You know, because USA Today has really cool pie
chart. Yeah, that's true. I don't know. I mean, that's why people read it, right?
It's the condensed news. That's why it's one, yes.
I mean, and it's not lengthy. You write an op-ed for the New York Times or Wall Street Journal. I mean, you're talking 1,000 words, but this thing's probably like 500 words. But it's laying out his case for why we should include the citizenship question on the census. And this is something the Trump administration, you know, has been dealing with. He's actually filed suit to do this. Congressman Mo Brooks out of Huntsville, he's very passionate about this. And the argument is kind of in two parts. Number one, should undocumented illegal immigrants be counted toward a
right,
state's total?
How is it done now?
Well,
census, like when you get the, you know, because people think, well, no, it's only going to be, they're going to ask citizenship because it's a portion of representation by citizens.
That's
in
right.
That, but that's not.
The question is not on the form.
It's
currently
not on there.
Right. And so they're, people are pushing to get it on, and for that very reason. Why should, you know, the state of Alabama, when we do our census count, we may not want to include all the illegal immigrants, or there may not be as many here as they are in states that have been more lax in their laws. Virginia, California, mm-hmm. Arizona, states that maybe haven't cracked down on illegal immigration quite as much as we have. And so what happens is we get punished because we've been strict in our immigration laws, have not allowed people to live here if they're not documented. But other states have. And so when they count those people, they get congressional representation that's greater than ours. And right now we're under, I mean, real threat of losing a congressional seat. And that's,
you'll hear
that's
that.
Bad.
We've said this several times, and I keep waiting for, there's going to be a day everybody goes, what just happened? Because obviously you apportion your representatives to Washington dependent on population. When you as a state lose population and other state gains, they gain that district, I mean, that representation over there, they move that over there out of the total number.
There's 435 seats. And
no matter how many, how big our population gets, it's still 435.
And they're not changing that anytime soon. And so that's the pie, and the pie just gets divided up depending on how many people live in each state. I mean, the last time around, you had, I think, Florida gained 2 seats. I think New York lost a seat. I think Pennsylvania lost 2 seats. So, I mean, it does change.
Sure.
And that's a big deal. It would be especially a big deal to Alabama. We only have 7. That's not that many. But we're blessed because over the years, our members of Congress have stayed around a long time, gotten senior positions. A lot of them have been appropriators, which is very important. You know, of course, you got Senator Shelby over there in the Senate. But he's not going to be there forever. So
that's right.
We need congressional clout. We need people, you know, building that seniority, getting on committees, and it doesn't help things if you had to go to 6. Plus, somebody might be out of luck.
That means two people that will have to run against each other. Two people that are elected are going to have to run against each other.
Presumably, something like
that could happen.
But remember, you know, Bradley Byrne's running for Senate, so technically that seat's open. It'll be interesting to see how that affects. You know, it's a lot easier to take a seat away from somebody that isn't there anymore. But
and if somebody's riding down the road wondering about what this means, so what happens if you lose the seat? We don't change. You still have the same population here. We just redraw the line. So the remaining 6 districts will have a new lines
That's
to
right.
set to equal out those numbers. But we lose one voice out of the 435 for our state.
That's right. And, right. I mean, we lose that many committees and all that.
This goes back to what Attorney General Marshall was doing. This is why he's fighting this.
Yeah, and eventually it's going to go to the Supreme Court, and that's fine, and we'll determine once and for all whether we can include the whether we must include the citizenship question on the census. It's kind of getting late, though. I mean, the census is kind of people are preparing for it. They're getting state efforts underway, so the court needs to rule on this soon. I think it's a novel question, but its impact has everything to do with our congressional representation and just how we count people in this country.
And I appreciate you coming to see me when I'm in your town. You can do the same when you come down to the coast.
Yeah, we got to get me some good seafood. I want to go.
We've got all of it.
Sorry I couldn't make it down for Mardi Gras, but
you missed out.
Like a hell of a time.
Yeah, we do it each year. It's okay. It'll come back up next year. We'll wait around for you next year. But no, come back. Come down before then.
Absolutely.
Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. Make sure to go over there and subscribe. Get that email in your inbox each morning. If you want to hang around, too, we're going to be, by the way, too, where we're hanging. If you didn't catch the show yesterday, me busting up into Secretary of State John Merrill's office, we're still here, and he's even left. I think Jeff and I and Dale have made so much noise, the Secretary of State of Alabama has to go elsewhere to do his job as we do our radio shows in here. But big thank you to John Merrill and all his staff here for hosting us in Montgomery. Coming right back, hour number 2 of Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5.